What did we see last week? Let me explain how we concluded, as we have two new visitors. We concluded that in the category of Hezek Shein Nika, we were discussing last week, is there a chiyuv when you take away, you don't seem to do anything to the actual item, but you take away its use. So we saw there was a Gemara that you threw a coin blowing to Reuben into the water, and the Gemara concludes that if you cannot retrieve it, that's how Tosfos learned over there, then you're chayv for damages. So we ask why. Why are you chayv for damages? You didn't change the coin. It's the same coin, just at the bottom of the ocean. Why are you chayv for damages? Should be only Hezek Shein Nika. So after going back and forth and lots of discussions, you can listen to last week's shiur if you can't once, we concluded that taking away use of the item is Hezek Shein Nika. If you don't make any changes, you're not going to be fired. But if you take away his bilus, his ownership from it, which means control from the item, he can't control it at all, then that is, you are chayv for damages. Taking away control, you're chayv from damages. Since problem is, it's out of my control. Taking away use, you're going to be potter for damages. It's in his control, it's just not very useful.
But has a chain on there, but did we say that you're, if you do a major, you are chayv?
Yeah, that's a master of all. Yeah. So taking away use, you're not going to be chayv if you don't actually damage the actual item, to just taking away the use of the item and not actually changing the item. So let's discuss this shayla. You tell me, where does this fit in? Does this fit in Hezek Nika or Hezek She'ena Nika? We concluded that Hezek Nika is only when you make a change to the item physically,
or
it's obvious to everybody without having to come with further information that you have done a Maisa damage. That's the conclusion. Now, so here's the shayla. Maisa Shahaya Kafkoi. Reuven was walking his dog. And as they're walking along, the dog saw something that he liked. And what was that? There was a cat. A cat ran in front of the dog, and the dog got loose from Reuven and started chasing the cat. The cat jumped over a wall. The dog followed in pursuit. He jumped also over the wall. And Reuven, meanwhile, chasing after his dog, trying to catch up to him. So he saw the wall he jumped over, and he went to the entrance of the place where this dog had jumped over, and he realized that this was a winery. So he knocked on the door, and they said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, my dog got jumped over the wall." Dog panic set in amongst the people in the winery. We can't have dogs here. We've got to expect, we're being expected, expected by the health authorities at the moment. So everyone started running around, trying to find out where this dog was, and eventually health inspectors and the people who were organizing it and the Reuven found the dog. Where was the dog? He was licking from the barrel of wine. And as soon as that happens, what did the health authorities say you have to do to that whole vat of wine? To chuck it away. So now we're in Basin, between the wine authorities and Reuven, who owns the dog. So what do you think? Is Reuven chayev for the damages that his dog did? What did his dog do? Dog jumped over the wall, went to the wine vat of the winery, started licking it, and because of that, the health authorities saw that at that time. The inspectors said, you have to chuck out all the wine of the wine vat. So is Reuven responsible for his dog causing damage to that wine? which meant it's now thrown out.
The wine being thrown out is really a grammar.
So you tell me, is it grammar? Is it Hezek Nika, Hezek She'ena Nika?
The Hezek of the dog licking the wine is that you can actually tell. You could do a chemical analysis and see the dog licking the wine. But that doesn't ruin it. What the problem was that the health authorities made him throw it out. And that part's a grammar.
I think the dog should take the cat to these things.
The dog should take the cat to Graceland. Eric, what do you think? Why is it Hezek Nika?
You can't see when you look at the bottle of wine. If they would finish producing it, you wouldn't know. It's got dog germs in it.
What was the criteria? You have to have both criteria in order to be for sure five, because there's a machlokes. One is, we said, Hezek Nika to be chayav is before and after the event, means that before the event it was a certain way, then you did an action and it changed the item which you did. That means through your action you changed it. Mixing wine with Yain Nesef, there's no change, just mixing. So you're not chayav there. If you change an item, you take a chair and you break a leg, now it doesn't change from what it was before, you're chayav, that's called Hezek. That was one category. There has to be a change. Another explanation Hezek Nika was, we have to watch the event and automatically interpret damage without being told any information. If you need more information, that's called Hezek Nika. Do you have both criteria in this case?
Both criteria.
You don't have the second one. What's
the second criteria?
It's obvious to everyone watching it that the wine was damaged.
You see a dog licking it, it's not obvious. For me, it's obvious. If you're my dog, I see a dog licking my food, I'm not going to let it eat it. It's obvious.
Also, the dog only licked one thing of wine. They've been throwing out, thousands of barrels. So it's not, he definitely didn't damage the rest of the barrels. Maybe that
was that. No, they only told them to chuck out that vat of.
Oh, just wine. That one
vat? That's a huge vat.
That's huge.
Oh,
huge vat of wine because the dog was licking for the.
Yeah. Sure, but the bashishim.
If you inject poison into the vat.
Poison!
Well, I think it's poison and they think it's poison.
Had the health department not showed up, they probably would have just, winked.
That's a different story. Doesn't mean it's not poison, because they wouldn't have bothered doing anything about it.
So let us discuss a shaila which the word poison was mentioned. Let me put the question to you like this. I put poison in your food. Is that called Hezek Nika or Hezek She'enika? Am I chayav for damaging the food or I'm not chayav for damaging the food?
Very Nika. Yeah.
Is it Nika or Eina Nika when I put poison in your food?
Nika.
What?
The second person would
what's there. The difference?
A dog is
a
not
dog
poison.
Licking the wine, which you all said, besides Eric, that's Hezek She'ena Nika. And when you put poison in the food, that's Hezek Nika. What's the difference?
One is subjective, admittedly majority subjective, but subjective conclusion based on our own personal germ freakiness. But medically speaking, there's probably no real major risk. A dog licking a huge vat of wine,
Well, if a person licks a vat,
as he said, we did chemical analysis. I guess
so let me ask this question. If it wasn't a huge vat, it was as big as the Coca-Cola can, and the dog started licking from it, would you change your mind in that circumstances? Or would you say, no, it's a dog. Dog licks is Hezek She'ena Nika. There's a difference between dog licks and poison.
Again, I personally wouldn't drink it in such a case, but I could hear there's still being a difference between poison and...
Why wouldn't you drink it?
Because I'm disgusted by it. I get grossed out. It doesn't mean it's not really okay. It just means that I'm right. I'm scarred there.
There's nothing wrong with it.
We have subject... We're affected by... If I lived in some, a third world country, I'd have no problem with it. But the way we grew up, we're
animal germs are poisonous to human beings. It's very simple. Well, I mean, here's the time they didn't know that.
I see that.
Okay. So let me throw a third question. Somebody who's ill with a very catchy virus.
There you talk.
And he goes and touches your food. Is that called Hezek Nika or Hezek Sha'ini Nika?
Touches it or nicks it?
Touches you, touches the food, transfers the illness to the food and to you. Is that called Hezek Nika or Hezek Sha'ini Nika? We've got now three shiners on the table.
Oh, no, it's not. It's Hezek Sha'ini Nika. Because you would need an expert to ask. We don't know for sure the virus transferred to the food. You would need an expert to come in and analyze, chemically analyze the food to the transfer. That's the second criteria, that it's obvious to everyone that
what do you mean you don't know?
You don't know.
Why don't you know?
Medically,
why
the virus transferred.
Why don't you know?
Because germs don't always transfer. The virus doesn't always cause damage to individuals.
He is walking in the middle of the sharaf with a. With jumpers and a scarf around his neck, and his eyes are watering, and his red nose. And he touches the food. Is that called Hezek Nika or Hezek Sha'ini
Nika? If you inject poison into something, how do you know other than the fact that somebody told you it was poison?
Because
somebody hadn't told you, how would you know?
Because when you eat it, you will drop dead.
Okay.
So if
somebody's got one of these serious infectious diseases and if he has
cancer, if he has AIDS, if he has one of those, but has a cold, I don't know that, it's 100%.
The winter and the flu season, and the radio tells you there's this flu bug going around, which is extremely dangerous.
West Nile virus. If it's West Nile virus, I would say yes.
So, out of those three, which are Hezek Nika, which are not Hezek Nika, which are, some of them are, some not.
Only poison is Hezek Nika.
For some reason, poison is different from the other two, which you haven't yet explained. Yeah, okay.
I think if somebody told you about this, any difference, and you believe the person said this is poison.
It says, on the container. You agree,
which are the three?
The dog licking the food,
okay.
The poison into the food,
okay.
And the highly contagious illness person touching the food.
I think all three are.
No labels.
So Eric says all three are nicker. We say just the poisonous. You haven't spoken yet.
I say all three are nicker, but the dog. The problem is the Hezek he's causing is not.
Okay, you're saying scrambled on the rest. What he's doing is Hezek Nika, and the dog's scrambled on the rest. That's what you said. But you agree to the question that it's called Hezek Nika.
Yeah.
Says Roshomazam and Obas, and this is where the Zionim want to say from here that all three cases are called Hezek Nika. Says Roshomazam and Obas. Havilei, Kenoshin Samam of his Totashim. He says, if you put Bosa into Cholov and you make the food Asa to eat, even if afterwards you add Bosa and no one can tell that there's any flavor there. He says that's called Hezek Nika, and he says it's like putting poison into a tash of shachaber. The choshet shapi Hezek Nika. It's choshet to Hashem as Amun Oba. That putting poison in food is called Hezek Nika. And therefore we learned that from there. So also when you put bosa and cholov into together, it's called Hezek Nika. So Mela, the Zayoni wants to learn out from here. So who are ten? And therefore some of them pass it like this. Now who are doing, if somebody is highly contagious, he goes and touches the food, that's a way of putting poison in the food. It's built-in poison, and therefore he's high for damages on the food. When somebody's ill, touches somebody else's food, without permission, he damages that food, and he has to pay for that food. And Mimela, a dog who touches food and transfers his germs would also, because of the hezek, I'm part of the dog. It wouldn't be for the extra notes that would have taken. However, there's a Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim lived much before Hashem was on Mulder. It says like this. Somebody who's ill goes to the mikveh. And by doing that, he transfers his contagious disease into the mikveh, and he obviously makes everybody ill. Whether by touching them directly, or just making the water John says the Sefer Hasidim, what's the problem with that? That's a problem. Lifnei Ivva lo sitei michshol. There is a concept of lifnei Ivva lo sitei michshol. Shlo yachetz odom shul mukashkin im yud diacha. Somebody who's ill and contagious should not bathe together with another Jew because of the issa lifnei Ivva lo sitei michshol. Unless he informs him first, you know what, I'm contagious, so you can make up your own decision when you want to bathe with me or you don't want to bathe with me. Because he also writes in the Torah, you're not allowed to stand on the blood of your fellow man, and this is called standing on the blood of your fellow man. So what do we see from this Sefer Chassidim? We see from the Sefer Chassidim that somebody is ill and he touches somebody else and makes him ill. What's the problem?
It's not mazik, it's a problem of the Israel,
but it's not mazik. If it be mazik, you wouldn't have to look around and say, what's he done wrong? What do you mean? He's high for damages. He's asking what's he done wrong. He's done wrong, and it's a mazik.
That is the big shiloh where that comes from. This is much more obvious.
But these are more serious isurims, meaning you bring the more serious case. This isn't the riot he wouldn't tell us also
more serious or not.
Go Samad Amriyacha?
You should say you shouldn't do it because you'll be mazik here, man. You'll be chayv to pay. So we see from here that
you can have
we see that germs, transferring germs to somebody else, the Sefer Chassidim seems to not hold it as in the category of damages.
But in the other case, he damaged the product. Here he is, he damaged the product.
He's damaged somebody. Yes?
That's
called, he's been damaged a person. What's the difference between damaging an item or damaging a person?
This might be the difference right here. These are mitzvahs about a binam chavero, about a person, and mazik is about an object.
Because here he's damaged the food and you can't use it anymore. Here he might infect somebody, he might not infect somebody, so you can't say, oh, it's damaged. You might have to wait 3 months to see if he gets ill, and that's a difference.
Okay, what is that waiting time called? A waiting time is he's damaged it, and you just don't know yet whether the consequences of whether he has done damage. What's it called? He's done an action, he's transferred his germs. I want to know is that had an effect over here. I wait, I see there was an effect, so therefore at the time he did damage. I now know that he did damage.
It's not, he could have gotten the germ the next day from someone else, standing next to him in the bus. It's not conclusive. It appears to be a very
It would be compelling evidence.
What do you mean? Same sickness. Forget about a mikvah case. The first
same rare disease.
What do you mean he's done damage?
He has made this person ill. Now, what's the problem here? When I make somebody ill and there he loses his days of work, am I chayv to pay? Yes, I'm chayv to pay. A person damages a person in a fashion that he cannot work for a few days, you're chayv to pay for his wages, which he's lost, called shevis. He transferred his illness, but now he's now bedridden that he can't operate in a normal fashion and go to his work, and he loses income. What is he over? Haftar l'rech or kamotah. Say more. He's over Issa Mazik. he's chayav for damages, and he has to pay for his wages, which is lost. Says the Sefer Chassidim, what is that he's doing wrong with if it's into the cavity after the Refa Kamoka?
He doesn't say he's not. He doesn't say if he's damaged, he's not chayav damage. He's saying in any case, he's chayav on these things.
Okay. So there's two mahalchim. So one mahalchim is to say that where is the whole issue of damages learnt? Where is how to know that's also to damage? Where is it learnt from? Does anyone know where it's learnt from?
One of these pregnant ladies.
What?
From damaging a pregnant lady. You guys see in the Torah
where's the issue to damage? I know you have to pay for damages. I know that. But where is it also? Maybe I'm allowed to damage. I'm going to pay. I'll damage, I'll pay. But it's not awesome. Who says it's awesome? Where's the
issue?
So there's all different makaras. Some say Hashav Sabbat. And some say, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ahavta Erecha Kamocha. Where's the actual issa to damage? Is that Ahavta Erecha Kamocha? If so, then the Sefer Chassidim is not in the conflict with Shemuel Zalman Orbach. When Shemuel Zalman Orbach says, you give germs to somebody, you're called being mazik. Yes, you're called being mazik. But where's the actual issa? As Matthias points out, the Sefer Chassidim is telling you, where's the osa? Where do I know it's osa to do such a thing? Says the Sefer Chassidim, for after Rechel Kamocha. Why did it say the issa of damages? That is the issa of causing damage. That's the makar, for after Rechel Kamocha. That's why I know it's osa to damage somebody. So that's one way of learning that there's no conflict. However, our Dionim wants to say that maybe not. What comes to other opinions where the Issa Mazik is learnt out from, we have therefore a Sefer Chassidim which doesn't fit with a Shomer Zalman Orbach. Okay. Let us therefore go further. Maybe there's a machlokus we're holding at this moment in time. If this is called Hezek or Hezek Evelika, maybe there's a machlokus. Let me ask you this now. Let's forget about whether it's Hezek Nika, Eni Nika, putting the germs there. What was the consequences of putting the germs there? What was the result of putting the germs there?
To throw away the food.
You had to throw away the food. Yeah. Last week we learned, what did we learn last week? That even when you do not have the conditions of Hezek Nika, like you throw the coin, says the Gemara Baba Kama, into the ocean and you haven't changed it. It's the same old coin, just down at the bottom of the ocean. But you can't retrieve it, says the doses, you're high for damages. It's hesitating, Nika. So we concluded, is that if you lose your control of your item, he does something to lose your control over it, you're high for damages. If you still have control, but you don't have use of it, then you're not high for damages if it's hesitating, Nika. But if you lose the actual control of it, then that's called Hezek Nika, even if you didn't change the item. So there's a coin you throw at the bottom of the sea. You haven't changed it at all. It's still the same old coin. But since he has no control of it, that's why the Gemara says over there, you're chayav for damages because you did an action to take his control away from it. That's what we saw last. Now, let me ask you here. The dog touches the wine. Does that action take away control of the owners over that wine or not?
No. Yes. The wine getting thrown out by the government, which is losing control, is that already grum at that point. I mean, that far removed is no longer the records of your mazik.
Let me ask you this. Throwing the coin into the bottom of the ocean.
That's direct.
Is that direct or grum according to how you understand grum?
That's direct.
Why is that direct?
You threw the coin. You didn't throw out the wine bottles. Your dog licked the bottles, which then caused the health inspector to go and throw out the wine. that's much less direct.
So it's less connected. It's not a direct action of taking control. It leads to losing control. But it itself is not taking away control. They're putting the coin in the water. I took control out of you. You no longer can't get it because of my action. Here, the dog touched it, and the moment it's still under your control, but because the dog gets out of shit, it caused control to be lost. Okay, so you're saying it's not the same. So let us analyze a Gemara, a Mishnah in the Gemara, and you tell me whether it's similar to this, and you try and explain to me why is this true. Says the Mishnah in Gittin. Edved she'osem rebo apotiki lachem v'shichrachu. An eved which belonged to Reuven, and Reuven owed Shimon money. So he wanted to give him a collateral. You gave me a loan, Shimon, I'm going to give you collateral. That's what Reuven said. How did he give him collateral? He says, you know, I'd own an eved. If I don't pay, you can take hold of the eved, he'll become your eved. And he was set free. Who set him free? Ula Omer. Says Ula. Mishichru. Who set him free in this story? Was it the owner of the Eved who set him free? Or was it the person who has collateral on the Eved who set him free? Says Ula Rebu Sheni. It wasn't the owner of the Eved who set him free. It was the one who had collateral on the Eved. He wrote a document of freedom to the Eved. He set him free. What's the halacha? Shoras adin ein eved chayv klum b'mitzvus. Min adin, the eved, normally if he's set free, he comes automatically Jewish. He's not Jewish, if he's set an eved free, he becomes automatically Jewish. Min adin, if the owner didn't set him free, but just the one who had collateral, it doesn't mean anything, because he's not the owner. And therefore, he's still an eved, really.
So why isn't he chayv the mitzvahs gathered?
Yeah, like Noshim is chayv, but he's not a real Jew.
So
yeah.
What does it mean he's chayv klum the mitzvahs?
Klum the mitzvahs to Noshim. Like a grown-up male. Ela mitnei tikkun olam. But mitnei tikkun olam, the rabbanim say, shahari yotzalot shem b'chayim. Everyone, when he walks around, will say, hey, this guy was set free. He's now a Jewish guy. Let's misdarif into a minion. Therefore, since everyone's going to think he's Jewish, Tofin as Rebbe Rishon, therefore the Chachamim force the real owner to set him free. And because he set him free, the Eved, now the original owner, he's lost some money. Yeah? He had an Eved. And he's lost money because he no longer has the Eved. He was forced to set him free. So who pays for that? Since the Tanakhama, the one who pays for that is the Eved. Mr. Eved, you were the Eved, now you're Jewish. You gained something. So you go and pay for that gain. Pay Reuven, the real owner of yours, money for your value. Yeah, that's the only right thing to do. Rashim and Gamliel argues, and tell me what he's saying of it. Eina kosev ele meshachra kosev. The one who has to pay, says Rashim and Gamliel, is the one who had the collateral and had the chutzpah to write a shtar shich on him and caused the first one to lose his rights in the Eved. He has to pay for that damage. He caused the damage. He has to pay for the damage. My commitment, what they're arguing about. Hezek Shein and Nika come in. What are they arguing? They're arguing Hezek Shein and Nika. Matzah v'shmei Hezek. The Shimon Gamaliel says the second one who set him free, which didn't work but caused him to be set free, is chayv for damages because that's called Hezek Shein and Nika, but it's called Shmei Hezek. You're going to be chayv even though it's Ein and Nika. Matzah v'lo Shmei Hezek. And Tanakama holds, you're not going to be chayv, and therefore you don't have to pay. Only the Eved himself has to pay, because he holds it like the regular thing. Hezek, Edish, Shein, and Iker. No, Shmei Hezek, no chayv for damages in such a case.
What does it mean, Shmei Hezek?
It's considered as if you damaged him, and you have to pay for damages.
Even though it's degenerated.
Okay. So we have a mark, Rokas, Rishim, and Leon. Now, let me ask you this. What do we paskin always? Hezek, Shein, and Iker. is it considered damages that we can force you to pay or not? What's the halacha? Not called damages. Yeah? So therefore, who should be paskin over here? Should the one who sets him free, the one who had the collateral and set him free, pay for the damages he caused? Or should we say, no, he doesn't have to pay for damages? Who should be paskin? Like Tanakama, who says he doesn't pay for damages because it's love, Shmei Hezik? Or Shmei Gamliel, who says you do pay for damages because it's Shmei Hezik? Who should be paskin like?
Tanakama.
Says all mafashim, there's a klal in Mishnais, something for you to remember. Whenever you have Rishim and Gamaliel in the Mishnah, halacha ka Rishim and Gamaliel in the Mishnah. Whenever Rishim and Gamaliel is in the Mishnah, always halacha kamoso, the halacha is always like him, which means it comes out, we were paskin, that second Odin, who wasn't the real owner. Who set him free, which wasn't considered really setting him free, but caused the events of that, meant that the owner lost his rights by the Chachamim forcing him to set him free. He's going to have to pay for that damage, according to Shemuel, and kach the halacha, because even though it's hezek she'ein hanikah, shmei hezek. Aye, what's going to be? It's a steerer in our pasuk. We always pass in hezek she'ein hanikah. Love Shmei Hezek is not damaged. Here we're paskin that Mishmael, that it says you're high for damages, even although it's Hezek Shein and Ika, because he didn't do anything. What are we going to do?
It's like throwing the coin in the water. Hezek Shein and Ika, but you've lost.
So you're asking, it's like throwing the coin in the water. So, let me ask you this. You're saying, here we see a proof to a Tosis. Even though you don't change anything, but since you action caused him to lose his control, you're chayav the damages. Now, let me say, if so, then we've got a bigger chiddush than the case of the water with the coin, don't we? In the case of the water and the coin, you took the coin, you threw it into the water. Who caused it to lose control? One who threw it directly. Here with the Odom case, he set him free. He wrote the Shtar Shichru, which means nothing.
I was saying the beast then acted.
And did it do anything at that stage? Did he lose control by him writing on the beast of Eber, you're free? At that stage, did he do anything? No. But it caused the Rabbanon to go ahead, hey, we see this piece of paper, everyone's going to see this paper, are we going to force you now to lose control, and we're going to make you really set him free? So we say, even in a case where you don't directly take control away, but you do an action which will cause control to be lost, you also have the damages.
Wait a minute, the Gemara says the Feirish is the Hezek Shein and Nicker. When you call it a Hezek Nicker.
Okay, we'll answer that in a second.
No, throwing the coin also the Hezek Shein and Nicker.
The Gemara says this case is Hezek Shein and Nicker.
Throwing the coin is also a case of Hezek Shein and Nicker, but we
still... No, it's not.
It's not? Throwing the coin is a case of Hezek Shein and
Nicker. We're saying it's not a Hezek Shein and Nicker.
The Gemara didn't say that. We said it's caused a real Hezek taking control. Matis is asking an excellent question. But the bottom line, the Gemara says it's Hezek Shein and Nicker. Okay, we have nice toes. We have a nice mishat, but it doesn't fit with the words. Yes, that's what Matzis is asking. Says Tosis.
Wait, to answer your question, though,
I just want to say Tosis to answer Matzis' question. Tosis was bothered by this. Tosis was bothered with Matzis' question. Look inside. See how Rishon asks the question and see how he answers. Shark Lerman, this is his answer. He has the same question over there. The high hezek sheinanika choshev nika tefei. Mahai the perik and izokim, the hossam kind of the lushmei hezek, the hocha kind of goshemil the mashvishin the shmei hezek. Says Tosis, I'm not worried about the loshim. There's two categories. There's hezek shein and nika, which is on more nika than the other type of hezek shein and nika. That hezek shein and nika, you are chayiv. It's considered hezek nika. And the other category, which you always paskin, hezek sheni lashmeka, is a less of a nika hezek that we talk of paskin. Lusmeyazik. So there's two categories of Ezek Shenika. Both fit into Ezek Shenika, but one is more closer to Ezek Shenika than the other.
So according to Postles, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree that the lower level Ezek Shenika is
correct. Okay. So therefore, we've answered Matzi's question.
So turn to your question.
And therefore, we've concluded that in our case of the yain, what should be the halacha? It should be chayim. Because what happens? Even though he didn't throw it into the yam, he did an action, his dog licked. And let us say, the dog licking is not considered hezek nika.
No,
yeah? Let's say it's hezek she'ena nika because of a... Either we hold Sefer Chassidim, even we don't hold like the Sefer Chassidim, the whole life of Shem Zamun, all about it. It's a huge vat. And if you take an analytic analysis about it, the Meiser is not like poison. The poison is bottled, it doesn't exist. You put something in, it doesn't exist. Not chayv. The Shem Zamun Ubach agrees. You put Bossa into Cholov where the Shishim of Cholov connected the Bossa, for sure you won't be chayv. So even in the case of the vat, even if you hold it, poison, but the poison doesn't exist because it's so big, there's nothing changed with the wine. Yeah? So you should be potter. So we say no. Even although it's Hezek Shein and Nika, because you didn't change anything. But what did it cause? What was the result? Health authorities there. See the your dog touch? Chuck everything out. So your action caused him to lose control. Even not directly, you're also going to be chayav because we see from the Shimon Gamliel, even if it's not directly taking control, just doing action which will cause him to lose control, that's also chayav. So therefore you should be chayav. Correct or wrong?
Wrong.
Good.
Once the chachamim were misak and tikkun olam, it's direct.
Yes,
here, the government has to be there to see it.
Right. Is it halacha? You as a psak is a halacha, so halacha is a halacha. It's therefore it's instantaneous. It's if it happened v'asachas.
Elul has done mamish wonders to everyone. Let me explain. Explain what you answered. It's the correct answer. If the Rabbonon make a takona and say, even somebody who's called free and is not really a free eved means is that you have to set him free. If that's, then what's happened? There's now a mitzias in the world that if you go ahead and write a get out of jail message to the Eved, yeah, then basically what you've done is directly damaged the owner. Because the mitzias of the world, as soon as that paper goes out, it means he has to be free. There's a halacha on him. This paper has caused a halacha on the Eved directly that he has, you've made him free. He can't be used anymore. That's what he's done. So it's a mitzias in the world. That's the difference. Something we have to learn. There's a difference from Torah and mitzvahs and halachas. It changes the mitzias of the world. The halacha now says this action has directly taken away his ownership over it. That's what the halacha of the Tekonis Chazal did. Not said indirect things, now direct thing. You've changed him. He's no longer an Eved. He's a free person. And Mimela, you're chayav for damage for certain. But in our case of the wine, the dog touched the wine, okay? There's a law out there, the health authorities over there, but a law changes the mitzvah. That wine is not usable. It's not in your control. You're not allowed to possess it anymore. Is that the mitzvah of that wine? Not the mitzvah of the wine. Take it to the laboratory. It's perfectly okay. Perfectly healthy. Nothing really wrong about it. And therefore, I haven't done anything in this action. It's just a groma, as Matzah says. It's now caused somebody else to force you to give up ownership. I've caused somebody else to take ownership. Like me sending a goy to go along and steal from you. I've caused him to take it away. But I didn't take it away. I caused somebody else to take it away. And therefore, for that you're not going to be tied for that. So in conclusion, in the case of the dog, the owner of the dog is not chayav for the damages he did for the wine. Right. So now, let us move on to a more common shaila. and it comes up in different variations, but it comes up often. Reuven is getting ready for Yontov, Rosh Hashanah. He wants his suit to be cleaned at the dry cleaners. So he sends his suit into the dry cleaners, and he comes to pick up, and he receives back his trousers. Doesn't receive back his jacket. What happened to the jacket? What happened to the jacket? The dry cleaner said, sorry, we used the wrong chemicals in cleaning it, and we ruined it. We will pay for a new jacket. Ruben says, thank you very much for admitting your mistakes, but you have to pay for a new suit, because trousers without a jacket are not the same as having a suit, and therefore you've damaged me. And on, not only in the jacket, which you directly damaged, but you also damaged my trousers, even though you're giving it back. Is that a category of Hezek Nika or Hezek Sheinu Nika? On the trousers.
Hezek Nika.
Trousers went in, came out, exactly the same. What was the problem? The jacket.
Yeah, but that's
the
like
jacket came in, didn't come out.
That's like giving you back
the trousers. Like giving, but you get back?
It's like giving my car to the mechanic, comes back without the engine. It's not like it has a knicker because it can't tell the rest of the car. The car is missing an engine. It's obvious the car is missing an engine. This suit is missing a half of the suit.
Yes or no? Okay, so let me ask, look at the Gemara and see where you're all wrong. Iboilu. The Gemara has a shining bubble coming like this. Yes, shrach simonim al asema. Yes, shrach simonim al asema. Yeah. Those who were here last week, remember this Gemara. Do we entertain that there's an existence of Zai? Or not? Does dye have its own existence or doesn't have its own existence? Hey, Tidomi, well, why do I care? Why do I care whether the dye has its own existence or not? What does it make a difference? Could go and I'll tell you the case. Shesova vo kupa v'kamahadile nini. You stole somebody's monkey and you also stole his green dye. Two things you stole from him. Then you combined the monkey with the dye. You took the green dye, which you stole, and you dyed the monkey. Now it's a green monkey. And then he said, you know, I was naughty. I stole your dye. I stole your monkey. I'm going to do teshuva. I'm going to give back your monkey and your dye. How? I'm giving back your green monkey. I'm giving back the green monkey. I'm giving back the monkey. And I'm giving back the dye as well. Says the Gemara. Well, is it true? Well, it depends. If you say dye, when it's on the actual material, it has it still its own entity, then you're right. You stole dye. You stole monkey. Even when you dye the monkey, the dye is still considered its own chashivas and entity. So when you give back the green monkey, you give back the monkey, and you give back the dye. Yes, you've done teshuva, and you've given everything back. But if you hold it, doesn't have its entity. Once it's dyed, it's used, it doesn't really exist. Then all you've given back is the monkey, and you haven't given back the dye. Now, what do we see from here? We see from here, the Gemara is saying that if you hold it has its own entity, then you've dumped your sugar and you're off the hook. You give him back the dye and give back the monkey. Now let me ask you, you can use that dye?
No.
Has the dye become useless through your action?
Yes.
Yes. So what you've done, you've given back the dye in a useless fashion. And it's called Einanika, and your potter. If so, I've given back your trousers. Yeah, in a useless fashion, or not as bad as the dye. It's not even as bad as the dye. By giving back the trousers, less valuable. than it was, but I gave it back. And therefore, we've got the famous Gemara, it says, you take something item, you don't do anything to that item, you just give it back. All you've done is became less useful, you're still off the hook.
Because by the monkey and the guy, it's two separate items. By the pants and the jacket, it's a suit, it's one item.
It's
like the
item.
Sleeve is not a separate item from the lapel. The pants is not a separate item from the jacket.
It is.
You can wear your pants.
It's one unit. That's
can you wear your pants or can't you wear your pants?
I can wear my sleeve without my lapel too.
No, take off your jacket. Everyone, look, you don't have a jacket in this.
Sorry.
But
you got
suit,
trousers.
A suit is a unit.
It's perfectly good.
It's a unit. They go together. The die has nothing to do with the monkey.
They can be separated, though.
So I can take off the lapel.
There is a market value for your pants by itself. You go to the market, you could sell them.
First of all, I personally think that if he pays to replace the
jacket,
if he pays to replace the jacket,
and now it's a different pair. Now it's a pair of pants.
Okay.
Before you're giving. You gave him a suit, you're not getting a suit back anymore. There's no more suit. Instead of your suit, he's giving you a pair of pants.
Which has value, though.
Which is something
else. You go to the show, you will get value.
I think there's a different reason why he doesn't have to pay for the pants. Because if he pays for a new jacket, that is probably considerably more than the value that the suit decreased by his losing the suit. Because it was a used suit. So how much in value did it decrease by his getting rid of a...
I don't know. I don't want... The jacket. I just want my trousers. I want you to pay for my trousers as well.
No, I don't know. What I'm saying is, even if I burn the entire suit, I only have to pay for the decrease in value. Mm-hmm. I don't have to pay for a new suit. So the decrease in value is likely much less than paying for a new jacket.
But sometimes, sometimes
Armani.
Yes.
And then the suitors.
Armani.
That's what? And
the suitors.
And the suitors. Okay.
Okay, so everyone is clearing over here. When do we look at something as one item and you've broken the whole thing by taking one bit out of it? And when do you look at it as two separate items and therefore you've damaged one, which has a knock-on effect the other, but yeah, it's not called damage that, it's just called knock-on effect. Yeah, when do you look at it as one item and two items? Let's see the Shulchanach. Number six. Hasobel Shoshova Chovish Shayin Lechevi Nishchai Bleshan. The water carrier, or the wine carrier, he broke the wine chovis, the barrel, and is out to pay. V'ha'ishova b'yom ha'shuk talit u'b'shah yom gimel. Well, what's the value of this wine which he broke? Well, if it was yushuk day, it's very expensive. It's talit. Talit dollars. On other days, it's gimel. So what's the halacha? How much does he pay? Does he pay four or three?
When did he break it?
So, does it go after when he breaks it or not?
Right.
So says the Rama, in the same the Rosh, that's halacha. Shinshova b'shah yomim mishalim gimel. Yeah. If you broke on the day when it was worth three, you pay three. In shova b'yom ha'shuk, if you break it on the day when it's shuk, in b'alifah b'shah yomim. If you're going to pay back for damages on other days, chocolate says other, then you have to pay four, because you broke it on the shuk day and it's worth four, you have to pay for four. But if the rutzel is in chovis achashon, you can't give him a barrel, because the barrel you're giving back on the non-shuk day is only worth three, and you have to pay four. Aven bali for b'yom shuk, then yochol laslo chovis achashon. If you're going to pay back on the day of the shuk with a barrel of wine, so you broke four and you're giving back four.
So a smart way would be to buy it on a shar yom and then give the barrel back to him on yom shuk.
Yeah.
Yes. If you could wait for the yom shuk. What do we see here? Not the nosa we're discussing up before, but what do we see over here? Are you chayev for grammars or not?
Why is it grammar?
Do we see anything related to us from over here? I want you to think about it for 10 seconds before you answer.
I'm assuming he dropped the barrel.
Yeah, he broke the barrel. So where do we see something which is related to us from this case? Think for 10 seconds. Okay, finds out.
No. What he pays depends on when he does it, which is completely not exactly in his control. Meaning, it has the day that he breaks it, whether it's Yom HaShukr or not, has a factor of his thing effect.
Which is indirect cause.
Yes,
so what,
why is it indirect
what's
cause?
What's its real value?
It's, no.
Well,
it's real value.
Real value
is what someone will pay for it next.
What's its real value now?
It's real value now is what someone will pay for it now. I mean, I could say in 10 years it's going to be worth 20 shekels.
Even the replacement barrel depends on the actual day. So a barrel on a Tuesday is worth 3, and a barrel on a Monday, if that's the number, sure, is worth 4.
You have to pay what it's worth to the person, according to the circumstances.
What's its real value?
It sounds like we're going to have to replace the
barrel. What do you mean by real value?
It fluctuates in value.
Come on,
I mean, it's like, think, what's the stock's real value? Whatever somebody's going to pay for it right now.
It
has Gabi Kiddushin, it would be for sure that what it
he
is.
He breaks
the
it on Yom HaShuk, yes? Yeah. It has two values on it. It's got two values. It's got the value of the Yom HaShuk day. And he's got the value of, let's say, sugar's on Thursday. He's got the value of Thursday's day. And he's got the value of Wednesday's day. This barrel intrinsically has the potential to bring in $3 or $4, depending on what day. So it has two values out there. So therefore, how much do you have to pay when there's two market values out there? What do you pay in such a circumstance?
Lower. I disagree with two market values. I could say there's a market value 5 years from now also.
No, this is fixed in. It's not something... speculation. It's not speculation over here. Market day is 4. Other days is 3. This barrel intrinsically has two ways of evaluating. It's either market day or non-market day. So how do you, much you pay?
So what if like COVID costs more in different countries?
So we say you're naughty. If you're naughty, we're going to charge you the higher value. Yes?
Who said that?
That's what the Gemara says over here. The Pesach,
only you can do it on Yom HaShuk.
On the Yom HaShuk, yes. Break on the Yom HaShuk, we charge you for 4. How does that fit with the Gemara in Sadi Tess? Omashul, Haman the Goza Chavitza the Tamarim Mechaber, but it's Bechamishim Tamarim. He breaks a barrel that's holding Tamarim, and there's 50 Tamarim inside. If you are Gav, Hadadi Mizavim Mechavishin, what's the value? If you would sell the whole barrel of 50 Tamarim, you would get 49 shekels. If you sell the tamarim one by one, you can sell them for 50 shekels. One shekel tamar. So therefore, how much do you pay? Do you pay them 49 shekels, or you pay 50 shekels? That's also two values.
No, now you're doing the whole retail.
The head of the shalom
is not chadda.
Says Shmuel, you go and pay the lower value, 49.
To a head yield.
They're not for hectic.
But to a wholesaler, you're going to have to pay 50.
No. That's two values out there.
Less, not more.
We give a leniency to the mazik that it pays the lesser value. What's going on over here? Do you pay the higher value or you pay the lesser value? What Gemara says that you break the barrel, you have to pay the higher value, the $4.
That's different.
Over here it says, you get off the hook, you only have to pay 49. What's the difference?
Because you stand there selling for 3 hours. Here it's one shot. If you get one person comes in, it's worth 49 plus 3 hours of work of selling off one at a time. Here is one shot, it was all broken, it's one shot, you save yourself the 3 hours, so you get the 49 back.
Any day of the week,
if you happen to have 49 customers at a time.
But he has to replace it. He's going to replace it anywhere he goes to replace all 50 at once. It only costs him 49. So it really is a set price of 49. Someone can choose to strategically sell them off one another at 50 for it, but the real value is 49.
Okay. Everyone agrees to this?
No. The real value. The lowest value.
The real value for 50. If you want to buy 50 replaced by damage, it's 49. Every day of the week.
If his time is worth
every day of the week.
So he'd say, look, I'm going to sell all of them anyway.
But he could get 50.
You for 49.
It's not the damager has to replace it now. He's going to replace a means.
It's a lovely economic discussion.
But
the Gemara says the reason why you pay 49.50 is not because meikadin logically you should pay 49. Mar says it's a possible. That's out from a possible. It's not an economic reason. I don't know, says the Gemara. 49.50, I can hear both sides. There's no reason why this side more than that side. You know why I conclude 49? Because Mazik, we have to be lenient on Mazik. You only pay 49. So if it's a Gezer, it's a possible. Two values out there. Mazik pays the lower value of these two values. So why in the case when the barrier broke, which has also two values out, the $4 and the $3, you have to pay $4.
It doesn't have to do that. On Yom HaShoah is 50. When on Yom HaShoah,
the
Chazak,
my argument, that is not two values.
So here we'll conclude tonight with the Ksos. Ksos was bothered by this question and doesn't give much of an answer. Maybe we'll discuss Matzah's answer next week in relation to another case. But this is how the Ksos answers, and we'll use it for our case. What is the Ksos? Esha Teshoma Shani. You know what the difference between the two Gemaras is? Between the barrel case where of wine where he has to pay the higher value, and the Tamarim case where he pays the lower value. The reason why the barrel you have to pay the high one is because he's a shomer. He's not just mazik. He's not just a stranger which comes and damages you. If he's a stranger and comes and damages you, then zalocha damages. They only have to pay the lower value when it's two values up. But if he's a shomer and he was hired to look after it, and he goes ahead and damages it, he's chayv on the high value because he has that extra responsibility called shomer. Shoma shani techayev al hashem leshomer mishumochem mechayev al kol chata v'chata. He's chayev on everyone. It would be a shomer in the case of tamarim. He would be chayev 50 in the case of tamarim.
And the dry cleaner is also a shomer.
Pardon?
The dry cleaner.
And therefore, we've come with the conclusion tonight. If he damages something and there's two values out there, you paid the lower value because there is a cost of lenience with you. But if you're shomer who damages, you have a higher responsibility, and then you have to pay the higher value that's out there. That's how the Ksos is coming out. So let's analyze our case with the dry cleaners. The dry cleaners. Is he a shomer?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Or is he just a mazik?
He's a shomer with a high level responsibilities.
He's a shomer sachar.
Yeah, high level.
So, sometimes yes, and sometimes no. If I gave him my suit to dry clean, I'm paying him to dry clean, then he's called halachically a shomer on the trousers and on the suit. Yes? Therefore, if you give back the item in a way which is no longer the same value as it was, you just concluded from the Ksos, that Shomer is Chayiv, even on Gromers, even on the higher value. Even though it's just a Gromer. The real value, according to the Torah, is the lenient value. That's because there's a gossip, lenient value. Because you're Shomer, you're going to be Chayiv even on the Gromer value, the non-real value. That's what Ksos said. So therefore, the dry cleaner is going to be Chayiv even on Gromers. It's going to be chayv and grommers, so therefore he's going to have chayv to pay for deterioration and value to the trousers.
Be used to say what does the suit sell for and what does the trouser by itself sell for and subtract one from
yes. But if you only gave your jacket to the dry cleaners, you said my jacket is dirty, my trousers is good, why send the whole suit in? I'll just send my jacket in. Yeah? And they ruined the jacket. And by ruining the jackets, they cause the value of the trousers to go down. Is he going to be chayv on the deterioration of the value of the trousers in such a case? No, because he's not a shomer on the trousers. He was never asked to look after trousers or deal with the trousers in such a case. He's only an odom mazik. He's only odom mazik. You can only get him for the real value. What's the real value? What if I damage it directly? No, I damage it indirectly. And therefore, I'm not going to be chayv on the trousers. And that's Paskins of Shofran. Mendel Shofran was asked this question, and he says, based on the Ksos, therefore it depends whether you give your whole suit to dry clean, where you'll be chayiv, even on the deterioration of the value of the trousers, because then your showman's chayiv and grommers, or you give only the suit, jackets, but not the trousers, where you're not a shomer on the trousers.
Yeah. If you give only a jacket, I think you could say that even that is a ketos.
Yeah, so we'll discuss what we said next week. But I'll leave you with one question. Very, very good. A shomer's chayv and glomer. That's what we see from the ketos. Shomer's chayv and glomers. But in our case, there's an extra factor. It's Hezek Shein and Nika. What's the trousers? What have you done to the trousers? The trousers are exactly the same as it was before.
In which case, we gave the whole suit?
Yeah, even the case of the whole suit. You gave back the trousers exactly the same as before. It's Hezek Shein and Nika.
We went for this. You're missing the half of the suit.
It's Hezek Shein and Nika. So, Enoch Nanami. Hashem is chayv and gomers, but who said he's chayv and hezek shein and nika? It's Hashem next week. We'll go into it by discussing another case. Whether Hashem is chayv also on hezek shein and nika or not. Or is this maybe not hezek shein and nika? Nothing to do with that. That's the ksos. The ksos is machadish. And the ikatin, even off an army by a normal person. There is a positive and another thing. And Shemi got no psukim by Shemi.
But if it was just a grumble, then it was just an external indirect action, we don't see that.
Yes, we do, because why are you hired? Why are you hired to pay for the 50? Why do you have to pay for 50? You should only pay 49 for the tomorrow.
Because you damaged directly the 50 things.
No.
It was worth one.
No, you haven't. Because there's exactly a cost of saying that when you damage an item, we look at the value. What's the value? As it's together, it's 49. That's the exact cost of. So if you're charging him for the extra one, what do you mean? Because by damaging directly 49, you cause him to lose an extra one. That's a grumble of the one. You cause him to avoid getting profit of an extra one. No, no. There's a pasuk that says what, how you value it. And therefore, if you're going to make the Shema Chayev without the pasuk, you're going to say that Shema must be Chayev. That's how it's going to be happening. Therefore, we conclude tonight that a shomer is chayv on gromos, but we haven't yet seen he's also chayv on hezek shein and nika. The shomer will discuss that next week, Thursday. Shahar, the gemara, ksivah, ksivah tova, a good event shir.
L'chein lamar.
All your questions should be answered. The tova.
Amen.
And be simple. Okay.